Bay Radio on a Wednesday, continuing our coverage of Russia's war on Ukraine. And I'm pleased to welcome back our special correspondent in Prague in the Czech Republic. Libor Herbeck is here. How are you doing, Libor?
Hello, Carl. Hello, everybody who listened to Bay Radio. Happy New Year to all of us, and especially to the people who defend the beautiful country of Ukraine. Otherwise, in Prague, it's pretty nice. Not very wintry, but cold enough, much colder than it was at the end of last year. So it looks by a little bit more like winter.
As I understand it, it was unseasonably warm over the Christmas period, but you didn't get away without this acute respiratory infection that's been affecting the rest of Europe. You guys were suffering with it too.
Exactly. It swept through the country. It hit even me, and I'm pretty resistant to illnesses. I was like 7 days, under paracetamol just to keep working and walking and even existing. But after 7 days, it disappeared. But you were right about the temperature records. The New Year's Eve, the 31st of December, we broke all time record in temperature. In Prague, we measured 18.2 centigrade. And because we in Prague are watching and recording the temperatures and other meteorological data since 1770, you can tell we are talking about 2.5 centuries of experience. Never before was such a temperature recorded.
Incredible. But hopefully by now then the ski resorts have recovered. Has there been snow?
No, not a natural snow at all. The ski slopes, the remaining few that are still open, are living on that artificial snow that they managed to build during the time when it was frosty, and now it's melting real fast. So if no frost and natural snow comes down, they will have to close the rest of them like they did those before or around Christmas. It looks awful. The skiing season is really, really in debris.
Okay, you had a bit of a boost, obviously, with the Czech Republic holding the rotating presidency of the EU over the past 6 months. The baton has been passed on to Sweden now, and a lot made in the Christmas speech by PM Fiala about the way that your country conducted themselves, and everybody pretty happy. Pats on the back all round.
I think so. Yeah, I think we mentioned that in our last interview before the Christmas, that we've been receiving very positive comments on how Czech Republic dealt with the presidency. And even as you said, our Prime Minister Fiala didn't forget to mention it, but I hope he did it in a sober way. even Mr. Titterman, and who has been in the European politics for decades, maybe 3 decades or maybe even longer, he said this was one of the best EU presidency he witnessed. I think that is quite something. The country capitalized on it, and I think we improved our view in the European Union that the Czechs are not only querulants who complain about this and that and do not agree with this and that and ask for exceptions in everything, almost everything, but we are also able to put some nice work and do it well.
And we saw pictures in the past couple of days of the Czech Prime Minister Petr Fiala personally signing a T-72 tank, which has been or going to be sent to the Ukrainian military. There's a deal, isn't there, where a number of tanks will be supplied to the Czech Republic, and you'll pass on some Soviet era tanks, which the Ukrainians know immediately how to use.
It's a very natural way to do it. We mentioned that before. Ukrainians are very well used to using these old Soviet era tanks. They don't need any training, and we are replacing them with the modern German Leopard 2 tanks. The first one arrived already before the Christmas as a Christmas gift from the German government. Other 13 should be delivered very soon. And our soldiers are very happy about those tanks because they represent what's the modern weapon in this sector of the warfare. A part of Abrams and maybe Israeli Merkava, there is hard to find anyone that could stand up and fight against this Leopard with some success. So yes, I think it works very well.
And away from the governmental assistance for Ukraine, the crowdfunding campaign in the Czech Republic continues to go from strength to strength. I can't quote what your T-shirt says about Vladimir Putin, but it pretty much tells him where to go in English. Anglo-Saxon English is probably the best way to describe it. But this gift for Putin, crowdfunding, sounding campaign has been very successful, and more of these Victor mobile short-range air defence systems are being sent to Ukraine from the Czech Republic, which have been bought with this money donated. Basically, an amazing weapon system on the back of a Toyota pickup.
Yes, it is. It is a fantastic weapon. Very simple, very easy to use, very effective, especially against those Iranian drones and slowly flying rockets that the Russians are sending over Ukraine. And I'm so pleased that every time they open a new crowdfunding object for it. At first, it was the tank Thomas. I hope our listeners remember that was in the autumn. Yeah, you remember it definitely too. Now it's this Victor anti-aircraft system, and there are many more. You can even point when you log on that website, this present for Putin website. You can pick whatever you want to pay for and donate it to the Ukrainians, from the Bren rifles all the way up to tanks, and it's fantastic. And every time they open a new one, it's fulfilled and the money collected much sooner than the one before. And I'm also very glad that I could participate and I received this t-shirt, which cannot be purchased. You can only get it as a reward for what you've done, how much you paid. And recently, yesterday or the day before yesterday, my friend totally killed me by saying, you send them 1968, I send over 25,000. I said, all right, man, you're better. So he is now having full wardrobe of these t-shirts.
That was your reference, of course, then, to when the last Soviet soldiers left your country.
No, that was the year when they actually invaded us.
Oh, when they came, yes, of course. Okay, yeah, 91 was when they left.
And they stayed until 1991.
But I can see the nominal fee there that you, the reason that you chose 1968.
It is the symbolical number, and the website says that that's the minimum money you can send when you want to receive the t-shirt. But obviously, I'm following it, and whenever they open a new crowdfunding opportunity, I will donate some more for some more weapons which the Ukrainians will use against those Russian invaders.
I'm posting that link on the Bay Radio Facebook page as we speak, so our listeners can see exactly what it is that we're talking about, Libor. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for every help these men can get. The money will not be wasted. I put my head on a stake for that.
Continuing with the support that the Czech Republic gives to Ukraine, the government commissioner for Ukrainian reconstruction is set to be appointed today. I haven't heard who it will be, but it's most likely to be, here comes my Czech pronunciation again, Tomáš Kopečný.
Tomáš Kopečný, that's exactly a perfect pronunciation. I told you before, you mastered Czech language very well in the last 10 months. yeah, this guy seems to be very capable of helping companies to get on the Ukrainian market whenever the war is over and the reconstruction will start. I think Prime Minister Fiala chose a good guy.
And also we've seen the first rotation of Ukrainian soldiers to be trained in the Czech Republic, having completed their training and going back to the war.
Yes, they are there. I believe there will be some more coming to our country, because now our instructors that taught the first group have the experience with them. They know how to do it quicker, how to do it more effective. I'm also pleased that if my information is correct, about 100 Ukrainian soldiers have made it to United States, where they will be trained to use the Patriots, and which sets the Russians ablaze, because they know how effective against their forces the Patriot system will be. If this works, if every country donates something, if every country trains a couple of tens or hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers, it is the best what we can do for Ukrainian victory. It's not going to be tomorrow, but it's going to happen.
Notably, the Kremlin saying today that confirms U.S. involvement directly in the war, having taken those soldiers to be trained with the Patriot system. Now, the Patriots should be going from Germany as well.
Yes, and that shows how Russians opened the book on the page that they see fit. If they started from the very beginning, they would realize that all those who started this crisis was themselves when they attacked Ukraine, not when the other countries are trying to help the Ukraine. The problem started with them, and they can end it up immediately if they pull back and declare the end of the war, which is not going to happen. We both know it, don't we?
Yeah, I'm afraid neither side have anywhere near like what the other side wants in order to be able to start talking. But of course, we've been seeing some incredibly harsh battles going on in the area of Soledar and Bakhmut. Even Putin today has agreed that it's very difficult in places. That's an understatement. I think Vladimir Zelensky was a little bit more eloquent in the way that he put it the other night in his speech.
Yes, the place looks awful. Those like you and me who looked in the on the pictures, how it looks now in Bakhmut and those small towns around, I can only compare them to pictures from World War II cities that were destroyed totally or almost totally, like Stalingrad and like Berlin at the end of the war. In Bakhmut and in that near city, that's name starts with S, which I forgot to what the name is, there's Soldier. Really a hand-to-hand combat. Now they are, I wouldn't be surprised if there were bayonet attacks very soon happening, because that's where they, where the Ukrainians are defending every house, every floor of a house, every room of a floor. And that's how far it got. It's awful, it's primitive, it's brutal, but the Russians are guilty of this, and Ukrainians need to defend their country the way they are doing it since 24th of February last year.
Yeah, there are claims in different ways about exactly whether Soledar has been taken yet or not, but very difficult to tell on the battleground, on the battlefield and the battlegrounds to confirm exactly what the latest situation is. We have been hearing quite a bit about frustration in Russia with the war, reaching boiling point, apparently. A former intelligence agent has called it, saying that he wants Putin removed. We're hearing from the Institute of War that a former FSB intelligence agent has been saying, this is Igor Gherkin, he's the one that's been saying that he wants Putin removed. And the bloggers are getting a bit more feisty, aren't they, about Putin?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. it took a year, what would normally in a normal country take weeks or maybe days, that people would realize who the guilty guy is and what destruction Putin is bringing to Russia itself, maybe in a longer term and bigger consequences, even more than to Ukraine themselves. I'm surprised that Mr. Gherkin is still alive. He should stay away from windows in a higher than second floor, because that's the way they usually get rid of the unpleasant critics. But it's only bloggers. It's only one highly highly positioned person in his in the Putin's hierarchy. I don't know. It has to be much bigger. It has to be much bigger. People have to hit the street. The army has to do a coup or something and really get rid of Putin. That would be the end of the war almost instantly. That situation in Bakhmut, if I may add one more sentence, we should note that it's mostly only the Wagner's army, the Prigozhin's mercenaries and those quickly released prisoners that keep the front with the Ukrainians. The Russian army, although they had sent there a couple of new tens of thousands of soldiers, newly recruited tens of thousands of soldiers, under-equipped, under-trained, without the Wagner army, they wouldn't be able to hold it. And this is what the Ukrainians should really concentrate on. They did very good hit, a couple of hits towards the end of the last year. If I was an advisor to Mr. Zelensky, I would say concentrate on those positions of the Wagners. If you get rid of them, Russian army would not be able to hold against your soldiers.
Yeah, I mean, they've increased by an incredible amount the troops that Prigozhin has in that Wagner group, hasn't it? That could be quite a problem for Putin, because we do think that Prigozhin also obviously has eyes not only on strengthening his position in Russia, but potentially on the top job.
Exactly. He could be one of those that could organize a coup or a putsch against Putin, and he would be able to pull the trigger. Yeah, he's one of those that could do it. I'm not sure if he can still frequently meet with Putin. I don't know. Nobody knows who can get that close to this dictator. But if the things go bad for the Russians, this could be one of the solutions.
Of course, in order to win this fight now, we know that the Ukrainians need very, very quickly more fighting vehicles. The Bradleys I've seen arriving today in the Netherlands from the US, and a number of other armoured equipment. I don't know if you've seen these pictures, but there are definitely some of the personnel carriers arriving. I've seen the M88 recovery tanks, but actually there's a picture which shows three M1 tanks, and these are taken at the port today. Obviously, this thing about battle tanks being given to Ukraine has been bubbling around, and we've heard about maybe challenges from Britain, Leopards from somewhere in the European group that has those tanks. But I can make out three M1 tanks in those pictures today coming off the ship in Holland.
Easily. Yep. This is very important. If America finally stops being scared of sending Ukrainians the best, can see in the proposed delivery of the Patriots, M1 Abrams would be a fantastic help to Ukrainians as soon as the terrain gets better after this winter and drier, so they can again start to be mobile and drive the tanks. It's by far the best tank in this world, and the Russians will have big difficulties to fight against Abrams. And if the three can come, I'm pretty sure another 30 can come as well.
Yeah, I don't know how many are in the shipment. It's just a few pictures that they were showing them coming off the ships in Holland today. And, you know, nobody seems to have picked this up yet. But, I mean, I know my M1s, you know.
you know M1 from far away. Yes, you can see it in the darkness. I know. It's a very distinctive shape of that tank. It's difficult to mix it with something else. But like I said, we all should stop worrying about making Mr. Putin angry if we donate something very strong to Ukrainians. No, the cards are on the table. And if he sends 100,000 troops, we send 5 tanks. And I think that would be equal in effectiveness of the fight. And more, 5 is not enough. I would send them everything what we have now, so the war could be over. We prayed last year that 2023 will finish this war, and it will if we keep on supporting and the Ukrainians keep on fighting.
Yeah, as I said, these are coming off the boats in the Netherlands. It doesn't necessarily mean that all of the equipment that we're seeing coming off those boats is going directly to Ukraine, but it was certainly heralded as pictures of some of this hardware that was headed there. So maybe not all of them as yet, but it will be a big news if indeed M1s head to Ukraine.
I think, Carl, it's highly probable that those tanks are now shipped to Europe to be delivered to Ukrainians. Mm. And obviously they don't announce it ahead. You know, we will only hear about it when they are finally used.
Back to the Czech Republic then. The government has approved that bill now for 2% of GDP to be spent on the military, bringing it up from, obviously, this is the target that all countries involved with NATO are expected to be spending on the military. And there wasn't any real opposition to this, was there, in the Czech Republic? Everybody sees and realizes and understands the reason behind it.
Obviously, there was a strong opposition from our opposition parties. ANO, which belongs to Babiš, and the SPD, which are strongly standing on the side of Russia. They always say that every crown we spend on defense, whether ours or Ukrainian, will prolong the war. Obviously, this is the rhetoric that they are using. Nobody takes them seriously because they have only minority in our parliament. So whatever the governmental coalition wants to pass will pass. Thanks God for that. You know, I even heard a man who was proposing 3% at least this year and the next year. But it didn't go down well. Our government has to be very careful. We are in terrible debts, but now at least something good comes out of this war. People have realized that we need army. We need army very well equipped and very well trained, and that cannot be achieved without enough money. Those 2% that we haven't managed to reach in 25 years of our presence in, 23 years of our presence in NATO, we could finally reach now when this crisis has started.
See, all of that was just a way for me to get you to mention Andrej Babiš, who is looking like he's going to be attempting to take the presidency from Mr. Zeman. But the big news is that Stork's Nest case was heard in just a few days and he was acquitted.
On Monday, it was a shock. It was a shock when the judge, Mr. Schott, declared that Babiš and his helper, Mrs. Naďová, are not guilty. Why it happened, I don't know. Nobody can say for sure. Schott, this judge, Mr. Schott, is known for being fair, being uncorruptible, and you know, he has sent already a couple of very difficult people to jail. The chances that he would accept a bribe are slim. I'm not saying that it's impossible. The other explanation is that the attorney really didn't do a good job and didn't write the conviction in the right manner. And this judge just, you know, compared yes and no's and decided.
Well, ultimately, he said, didn't he,
not guilty.
It couldn't be proven that either of them had acted in a criminal manner. So you could be right there. There may be some failings in the way the case was made.
This is hard to say, Cal. I watched that. I followed that case very closely, and the signals that we were receiving from the Court of Justice were that it looked like the judge is going to declare Babiš guilty. The question was only if he gets to jail or if he gets just some warnings or whatever the punishment will be, but. With the possibility that he will be declared not guilty, I don't think anybody could believe that it's going to happen. It's a big shock, and especially now before the elections, it gives Babiš fresh blood to his veins. It wouldn't matter for his voters; they would vote for him even if he was found guilty of murder. His voters are so faithful that they would vote for him anyway. But it gave him the possibility in the discussions that are still happening today, and tomorrow will be last candidate's debate, where he can repeat and repeat over and over saying, I have been declared not guilty. I told you it was just the coalition work against me, blah, 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 blah. We have to wait. We have to wait till Friday and Saturday, go to election polls, cast our votes against him, and hope for the best.
Indeed, the people in opposition to him for that vote for president are basically saying, keep calm, just vote against him. That's the best way to manage it. But the polls suggest that Babiš would win the first round, but be beaten in the second.
Exactly. That's what we hope. We hope that all the democratic people in this country, who now in the first round can choose from seven other candidates, will at the end unite on the one that will fight against Babiš in the second round. That is our hope. It happened a year and something ago when the Mr. Fiala's government and his coalition won the parliamentary elections, and I hope it's going to happen again. But believe me, my nerves will be vibrating like during an earthquake before it happens, because the idea that Babiš would be sitting on the same chair as Mr. Havel did 20 years ago is just unbearable for me.
And of course, he made quite a high profile visit with President Emmanuel Macron in Paris yesterday, but they were quick to point out, weren't they, the president's spokespeople, that the visit should not be interpreted as Macron's support for Babiš in the elections, even though they're part of that Renew Europe faction in the European Parliament.
Exactly, especially because Babiš is now being investigated in France for some money laundering when he bought a large properties in the southern France. I even heard a fantastic comment in our radio that it's funny that Mr. Macron is hugging with Babiš, who probably committed financial crimes in France, to help Babiš against General Pavel, who during his active service saved about 100 French soldiers in Kosovo. I know it's a paradox, but that's how politics works. Babiš and Macron, they are politicians of their own kind.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how those presidential elections pan out. And I look forward to catching up with you to find out exactly the ins and outs of that. It's certainly going to be taking up all the news, I imagine, over the next few days and weeks.
I will be there. I will be there, you know, when they open the polls on Friday, 2 o'clock, I'll be among the first, because later that day I'm starting my week holiday in Britain and also in Iceland. But of course, before the second round, I'm back, and it would be great if to the second round my favorite candidates have made it. General Pavel and Danusha Nerudova, the rector of the university. But now, with the help of this, you know, verdict of the judge, plus with the help that Středula gave to Babiš, I don't know if that hit also your spectrum of news, but one of the candidates, the head of the trade unionists, Mr. Středula, at the end of this first major candidates debate, declared that he steps out, because he was, according to the what they call them, estimations, he had only 3.5% of supporters. He said he's stepping out, and he urged his voters to vote for Danusha Nerudova. At the beginning, it was just jaw-dropping. But in 5 seconds, I realized what happened. Because Středula is a good friend with President Zeman. Zeman is a good friend with Babiš. They did it on purpose. They know very well that all those trade unionists will vote for Babiš, not for a lady who is highly educated, having being head of the university, who openly supports LGBT community and all these things. No, they will definitely vote for Babiš. And Mr. Středula will be clear. He would say, okay, I stepped out and I urged my voters to vote for Nerudova. What else do you want me to do? So this was second thing that helps Babiš to get again a momentum, and the fact and the possibility that he will make it to the second round are now much higher than they were a week ago.
Wow. Okay. Listen, have a great holiday. Say hello to Britain for us. I don't think you're allowed to wear that Putin t-shirt in public in Britain because of the language that's included on it, by the way.
You think I should not wear it with me?
I don't think you can wear it in public in Britain, to be honest.
I don't know. Well, I was actually looking forward to it because I know how many Russians are walking on London Street. But okay, let me think about it again. I don't want to end up in jail and I'm supposed to be having a holiday.
Well, I don't think in Britain that we're that draconian, but I'm not, to be honest, I'm not quite sure. But there we are.
let me test it and we do next Wednesday interview from a British jail.
Libor, thanks very much indeed. Good to catch up with you again. Take care now. Have a good holiday.
Great pleasure, as always. We'll speak whenever you call me again.